Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me loud and clear? Yes, good. I've just been told that for those of you who are joining us at home, the streaming system isn't working perfectly this morning, so we apologize for that. We give a warm welcome to everyone here, for those watching at home, and for those who will be watching the recording of this service later on in the week. It wouldn't seem normal without notices, so I have some. Out in the vestibule are the remainder of the Christmas cards which people didn't collect. So please, if you remember after the service, will you glance at the table there, and if you live near somebody or know somebody to whom you could take those cards, that would be very good. Coming to more somber notices, I think looking around, everybody here will be aware that our dear friend and pastor Stephen went to be with the Lord last Sunday. And I want to tell you about the funeral arrangements. There is going to be a private family cremation on Friday the 24th of January, which is just for family and a few close friends that they have invited. But on the next day, Saturday the 25th, there will be a service to celebrate Stephen's life, which will take place here at 2:30, and there will be refreshments to follow. Now, it's expected there will be a lot of people here, and Mark Davis, who's in charge of that day, has asked if people would tell him, please, beforehand, if you're intending to come on Saturday the 25th, so that we know the numbers that we have to cater for. Now, if you're not online and don't have a smartphone and think, how am I going to do that? Because Mark's in Durham, snowed in at the moment. If you'd like to tell me, I've got a notebook here, and if you tell me you're going to come today, I will write those names down and give them to him, okay? We want to carry things on as normally as possible. It would be a good legacy for Stephen if the things that he did and that we are used to as far as possible are carried on. I'm afraid if I were to stand here with a 12-string guitar this morning, there'd be lots of horrified faces in the congregation because it's not one of my gifts. But we can try and do the things he would have done. And he was very keen on the aspect of us being a family, the church family. And in a family, you have sorrows, as we have at the moment. You also have joys. And this morning, it's Suzanne's birthday. 21 again. And so, I'm sure Stephen would have led us to sing happy birthday. So if you could give us a note, Andrew. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Suzanne. Happy birthday to you. Of course, primarily why we're gathered here today and every week is to worship God. And that's where our focus needs to be, and that's where Stephen would have wanted our focus to be. Tomorrow is Epiphany, also known as Three Kings Day. Epiphany is a Christian feast day which falls on January the 6th. It's a special day for many Christians because it's when people celebrate how a star led the Magi, otherwise known as the three kings or the wise men, to visit the infant Jesus sometime after he had been born. I like the old carol, which was written by someone called the Reverend James East back in the 1920s, which begins like this. Wise men seeking Jesus traveled from afar, guided on their journey by a beauteous star. But if we desire him, he is close at hand, for our native country is our holy land. Jesus is only a prayer away from each of us. So let's stand, if you are able, and sing, as with gladness, men of old. Please be seated. David Burroughs found some words in a publication that he uses called A Year's Journey with God, which we thought would be a good thing to read out this morning. It's based on Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. The writer says, how are you feeling about stepping into this new year? Perhaps you are straining towards what is ahead, like an Olympic sprinter, full of hope and confidence. Or you could be limping up to the starting line, exhausted by Christmas and crippled by endless problems. You might even be hanging back, dreading some of the forthcoming events in your brand new diary, or unable to face life without someone you have recently lost. As I was writing that, an email popped into my inbox from my friend in Australia. She finished by saying, oh well, here's another year to do with Jesus. I like that. I feel that it's like a large injection of faith. We've got to do this new year, however we feel about its shadowy uncertainties, and it is certain for all of us, even if we planned everything to the last detail, that things will come up that we're not expecting, because life on this planet is always unpredictable. Yet one thing is rock solid sure. We don't have to face the future alone. We can do it with Jesus. His promise to us rings out like a glorious peal of church bells, ringing in the new year. Do not be afraid, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that nothing is going to happen this year that you and I can't handle together. Lord of the ages, you are our beginning and our end. Everlasting God, we place our days within your care. Eternal Father, we trust you. For your faithfulness in the past, we thank you. For your constant care, we praise you. For our future in your love, we place ourselves into your keeping and offer our lives for your service. But merciful God, we confess that we so often let you down. We want to confess that our sins to you this morning, the sins that nobody knows, the sins that everybody knows, the sins that are a burden to us, and the sins that don't bother us anymore because we've got used to them. We confess as well our sins as a church, because we have not always loved one another as Christ loves us. We have not always given ourselves in love and service for the world as Christ gave himself for us. Father, forgive us and send the Holy Spirit to us that he may give us power to live as by your mercy you have called us to live. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing two songs now. Please stand if you are able. The first one is Jesus, Hope of the Nations. And because it's only one verse and chorus, I think Andrew will sing it through twice. And then we shall sing Light of the World. Part of our worship is to bring the Lord our contributions towards the work of the gospel. And we're going to take up our offering now. Those of you who give direct to the bank and things like that, just let the bank pass you by. And those of you who are visiting us, there's no obligation to give unless you wish to. And also, because it's a communion Sunday, outside there is a special box where we put extra gifts, communion gifts, which go to different causes. And the cause this week is the fellowship fund, which the minister of each church holds to help people who are in particular need from time to time. So if the stewards could wait on us for our offering, please. Heavenly Father, you are such a generous God. You give us more than we could possibly wish or desire. And we want to bring these love gifts to you as tokens of our love for you. We ask you to take these gifts, Lord, and to multiply them so that many more people may come to know about your love and about the salvation that's available through your only Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, it's good that we have some extra children with us this morning, and it's time now for you to go out with Debbie and Angela this week to have a really special time, I understand. So have a good time, and we'll see you towards the end of the service. Ask you to be with Debbie and Angela and the children, that they may have a wonderful time this morning, that they may learn more about you, and we look forward to seeing them later on, Lord, in the service. Amen. We're going to sing another song now. We have no one helping us this morning because along with Mark, Lou is snowbound in Durham, and Claire should have been here singing, but she went down with a nasty sore throat this morning, so it's reliant upon all of you to sing well. So let's stand if we can and sing, Jesus is the name we honour. all the people said,
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, before David comes to bring God's word to us this morning, Rowena is going to come and sing, so we can rest our voices and listen to Rowena's lovely voice instead.
I worship the Savior, I worship the King, I worship the one of whom angels did sing, the one whom the wise men with warm hearts did seek. At a manger they bowed and laid gifts at his feet. I worship the one who is Jesus. I worship the one who is born of God. I worship the one who is Jesus. I worship the one who is born, the Son of God. I worship the one of whom shepherds did find, old kings and prophets his birth they prophesied. I worship the healer, I worship the Christ, I worship the one who's the way, the truth, the life. I worship the one who is Jesus. I worship the one who is born of God. I worship the one who is Jesus. I worship the one who is born, the Son of God. I worship the one who walks on the water. I worship the one who can say, peace be still. I worship the one who left all of heaven to be lifted up on a cross, on a hill. I worship the one who is Jesus. I worship the one who is born of God. I worship the one who is Jesus. I worship the one who is born, the Son of God.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Liz is going to bring your word to us in a moment, and David, who is going to expound it for us. We thank you for his study during the week, for his prayers, and now we ask that you will anoint his lips so that we may hear you speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, when 6 weeks ago, Pastor Stephen asked me to speak this morning, I scarcely expected that I would not be speaking alongside him, leading worship. Yet, here we are, with Pastor Stephen in glory. He was and is a wonderful man of God. As a church, we are hugely grateful for his love for the Lord, his love for all of us, his love for everyone, his enthusiastic sharing of the good news, and his joyous worship. Now, as I pondered what I could say to honor Stephen, I thought that he was very much a worshiper, that he would want our church to continue to be a worshiping church. And so this morning we're speaking on worship. Worship. In John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus was speaking to a Samaritan woman. He said, A time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. So, God is seeking worshippers. So let's first of all consider, who does the Father call to worship himself in spirit and truth? Well, the simple answer is, of course, everyone. But the Bible expands this to include specifically despised, poor night workers, who as shepherds were excluded from the temple worship. And then later in the Gospels, he calls fishermen, a tax collector, a political activist to follow him and become worshippers. But God chooses everyone. God chooses you. Whether you're here in person or you're listening online, God wants you to become a worshipper. Everyone's included. The Bible says God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. No one may boast before him. Well, that includes me anyway. It's good, isn't it, to be included? However, in today's passage, we're considering magi, wise men from the East who were wealthy, intellectuals, astronomers, also called to true worship of the Lord Jesus. In other words, whoever you are called to worship the Lord Jesus. And this is now going to read Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, which is on page 966 in the Church Bible, should you care to follow. So Matthew chapter 2. Thank you.
The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you, Jesus. That was lovely. Now some time after the birth of the Lord Jesus. And Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus are now living in a house. The Magi were wealthy, intellectual, non-Jews, astronomers, but they were seekers after truth. The Bible promises that those who seek will find. And here we see these Magi were led to seek the King of the Jews by their astronomical research. We see this from their words to King Herod. "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. God leads people to worship the Lord Jesus. And in this case, these seekers after truth had their own special astronomical revelation. Perhaps they were influenced by Isaiah chapter 60, verse 4. All assemble and come to you, your sons from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense. So, God calls these scientists, these astronomers, to worship his son. As a scientifically trained man, I find it encouraging. God calls scientists to be worshippers. I love the words of Johannes Kepler, the brilliant 17th century astronomer, who actually has three laws named after him. And he said this: science is thinking God's thoughts after him. Science is thinking God's thoughts after him. So if you're a scientist and you're thinking, oh, well, I can't be a Christian, I've got good news for you. Yes, God calls astronomers. God calls scientists. God calls everyone. Now, admittedly, the Magi got their guidance muddled first time by going to Jerusalem. But there the biblical scholars corrected them and pointed them to Bethlehem. Verse 6. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherded, who will shepherd my people Israel. Now, if you are seeking truth, it's always good to go to the Bible to find trustworthy words. Excuse me. If you're seeking truth, I would encourage you to read the Bible, and perhaps Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We give those out freely here as a church to find out who Jesus really is. I did that when I was a student many years ago. I went and read the Gospels. Who is this Jesus? And I was convinced that Jesus is God. Eventually, the Magi return to follow the star to the house where Mary and baby Jesus were. On coming to the house, verse 11, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So, firstly, God calls all people to worship the Lord Jesus, even foreigners, even wealthy scientists. Whoever you are, rich or poor, religious, non-religious, clever or not so clever, we are all called to worship the Lord Jesus. Secondly, what does God call worshippers to do? On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let's notice that the Magi saw the baby Jesus, verse 11. They bowed before him and gave him gifts. God calls each one of us to ponder who Jesus is through the Bible. Secondly, he calls us each one to bow down before the Lord. Worshippers are humble and bow down to the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us that God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Thirdly, worshippers are generous and gave gifts to the Lord. As the Lord Jesus taught us, give and it shall be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So, worshippers learn who Jesus is, humble themselves before him, and give to him generously. Worshippers meet with others to worship songs of worship at church or in small groups. Worshippers worship him alone. Worshippers read the Psalms, which contain many poems of worship. Worshippers give time to be still and know that God is God. This new year, I would encourage you to become or continue to be a worshipper. And finally, thirdly, what do the gifts of the Magi tell us about who Jesus is? Well, they're well known, aren't they? The first one is gold. Gold shows us that Jesus is indeed the Lord Jesus, the divine King. Gold was extensively used in the temple, and all of Scripture teaches us that Jesus is fully God. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Colossians 1. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Hebrews 1. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. He is also the ultimate King, King of kings and Lord of lords, as the last book in the Bible tells us, Revelation. An ancient prophecy from Isaiah tells us of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth forever. Gold. Jesus is the divine King. Secondly, perhaps a bit difficult to understand, frankincense. Now, incense was used in the temple and is a picture of prayer. Frankincense shows us that Jesus is totally human and the perfect priest. As a perfect man, he can sympathize with all we are going through. And now in heaven, he continues to pray for us. As Hebrews tell us, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Whatever you are going through, please remember that Jesus has been tempted in every way, just as we are, and is praying for you at the right hand of the Father. And thirdly, myrrh, a very strange gift for a baby. Myrrh is used to prepare bodies for burial. Nicodemus will later bring a mixture of aloe and myrrh to prepare Jesus' body for burial. The gift of myrrh showed that the Lord Jesus would one day be the sacrificial Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There are many, many verses that explain this. One says this, 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had been no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Peter says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, made alive in the spirit. 1 Peter 2, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to his righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed. And Isaiah 53, written 400 years before the Lord Jesus was born and died. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. So, let us, with our beloved brother Stephen, become true worshippers, people who humbly give adoration to the Lord Jesus and worship him as the divine King, the human priest, and the one who ultimately gave his life that we might be forgiven, accepted as his children, and ultimately defeat death and go to God as worshippers forever. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, who was indeed fully divine, fully man, and the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We thank you for our beloved Pastor Stephen, and we ask you to help us to follow his example and become more and more worshippers of you, our gracious and loving Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Thank you very much, David, for those words. Let's just, in a moment of quietness, reflect upon them. We're coming to our time of communion in a few moments' time, but before we do that, let's sing "Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away." I suggest we remain seated while we sing this. Would those who are serving please come and join me? We welcome back the children. At our communion table, we invite all who love the Lord to join in sharing with this communion meal of bread and wine. If anyone doesn't feel comfortable with that, just let the elements pass you by. If you truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbours and are resolved to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this sacrament to your comfort and growth in grace. Come to this table not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you the right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Some words from Scripture. In John 6, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And we read in 1 Corinthians, when we bless the cup of blessing, is it not a means of sharing in the blood of Christ? When we break the bread, is it not a means of sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we, many as we are one body, for we all share one loaf. Let's pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper in these words: "For the tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest, the Lord took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me.' For every time you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." Andrew is going to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for the bread and the wine.
Lord Jesus, as we again gather round the communion table, we look again in awe and thanksgiving at the sacrifice you were willing to make for each one of us, leaving the glories of heaven to come to earth, knowing that every day you're on earth, the cross was your destiny for each one of us. You paid the punishment for us. Your blood has cleansed us from all our sin. Jesus, again this morning, we come and say thank you. Thank you for that sacrifice you've made on our behalf. Amen.
Jesus said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in memory of me." Please take a piece of the bread as it comes round. This is gluten-free bread, which we use so everyone is able to take it. And we will eat the bread as we receive it. In the same way, Jesus took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me." Please retain the cups so that we can drink together when everyone has been served. Thank you. Drink this and remember that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Amen. Most gracious God, we praise you for what you have given and for what you have promised us here. You have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Now we give ourselves to you, and we ask that our daily living may be part of the life of your kingdom, and that our love may be your love, reaching out into the life of the world. Amen. I think it's appropriate, while we are around the communion table, just to remember our sisters and brothers who are known to us and to be in particular need at the moment. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're very conscious that our dear sister Leslie is not with us this morning, and we want to pray for her and Stephen and Leslie's daughters Maria and Rachel and all the family, Lord, at this difficult and trying time. Just be with them right now, Lord. May they know your peace and your consolation. And will you, by your Spirit, give them the strength that they need for the living of these difficult days. And Father, we want to pray for our brother, David Redaway, who has been in hospital now for several days. He may be able to come home today. We understand. But we pray, Lord, that the treatment he's received will have been helpful, and that you will grant him your healing, and that you'll be very close to Valerie during the difficult time that they're going through at the moment. And we learned this morning that our sister Pam Bithell went into hospital yesterday. We don't know any more details, but Lord, we love Pam and we pray you'll be very close to her at this time. You know, Lord, all the different things which she suffers health-wise, but we thank you for her cheerful countenance and pray that you will be close to her, and we know she'll be a good witness to those around her in hospital. And Lord, finally, we want to pray for our new missionaries, Ingrid and Roger Hamlet, with their little boys, Joel and Mark, who will be setting off to Chad in Africa on the 14th of January. We just pray, Lord, that you will go with them and that you will go before them, that they will have a safe journey, that they will be warmly received by the people at the Guinebaugh Hospital. We pray for the boys, that they will be able to settle in a new school, and particularly, Lord, that you give all of them a grasp of the French language, which they're going to be having to use day by day. All these prayers and the unspoken prayers of our hearts we offer in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to close with a hymn, "O Worship the Lord in the Beauty of Holiness." And as you sing it, you will see that it encapsulates all the things we've been talking and thinking about this morning. So if you're able, please stand. steps close by sharing the grace with one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. God bless you.